This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our work through Genesis chapters 45 and 46, picking up with Joseph is gracious, do not quarrel, Jacob revived, Jacob removes to Egypt part one, and Jacob removes to Egypt part two. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God shall come.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Make his path straight.
Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation may start forth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Romans chapter 15. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it says, Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
He shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. You shall have no other gods.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not.
The Small Catechism, page 322. What is the second article?
Holy, precious blood, and his innocence.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
John the Baptist asked what one preacher described as Advent's ageless question. It was an inquiry made not out of idle speculation or academic curiosity. It was desperate, a life and death kind of question. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? The second article of the Apostles' Creed answers the incarcerated Baptist question affirmatively. This Jesus, whose way John the Baptist prepared, is the one. The Catechism's explanation of the second article centers its confession that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. And Luther says in the Large Catechism, if you want to grasp the heart and the center of this article, focus on those words. Lord, my Lord. With the title Lord, Jesus is identified with Yahweh as God. The Catechism now takes this basic biblical truth to the next level. This Jesus is my Lord, my God. What is demanded in the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, is fulfilled through faith in Christ Jesus. He is my Lord. To have a Lord is to be in the possession of another. In the ancient world, those who were called lords exercised power over their subjects, sometimes oppressively so. Think of slaves whose very bodies were claimed as the property of a master, a lord. Such was the case with the children of Israel subject to slavery in Egypt. In the New Testament, sin, death, and the devil are pictured as having dominion, as being lords. But Jesus Christ is a different kind of Lord for you altogether. In a sermon preached in 1533, Luther says that the word Lord sounds exceedingly friendly and is a delightful, comforting word. Namely, that we have such a man who can help and rescue us in all needs, who stands with us against all enemies. And through the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the dead, as the creed concludes, he lives and reigns as my Lord. He did all this, Luther said, and devoted so much to save us, not because he desires to be the kind of Lord who deals with us like a tyrant, one who compels, troubles, and frightens the people, but rather that he would be for us a friendly, helpful Lord, a lordship under which we might be safe and free from all force and violence. Luther's comforting confession of the second article is that Jesus Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. No wonder that the theologian Hermann Zassa once exclaimed that these words of Luther are the most beautiful words ever written in the German language, and how sweet they are in English as well. For here, Luther is expressing the pulsating heart of the gospel, echoing the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, "He, that is the Father, has delivered us from the dominion, the lordship of darkness, and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." Now, that is where we are located. We are possessed by the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased and won us from all sins, from death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Here is a kingdom not governed by the sword of oppression or the ever-present threat of death. But here is a king who reigns in mercy from the cross, exercising forgiveness for broken sinners. Have you ever noticed how often our Advent hymns speak of the king and his kingdom? We'll sing one in a few minutes. Charles Wesley has us sing in "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus" these words: "Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thy all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne." Or then there's the old Reformation era hymn, "Lift up your heads, you mighty gates," as it beckons us with the royal call, "Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates, behold the King of glory waits. The King of kings is drawing near, the Savior of the world is here. Life and salvation he doth bring, therefore rejoice and gladly see. To God the Father raise your joyful songs of praise." Or there is "Prepare the Royal Highway," with the comforting announcement, "His is no earthly kingdom, it comes from heaven above. His rule is peace and freedom and justice, truth and love. So let your praise be sounding, for kindness so abounding. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word." And we could go on and on with Advent hymns. And on your own, you might simply want to page through the Advent section of your hymnal, noting the references to God's gracious kingdom that we are given in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this kingdom, we live not by self-righteousness and therefore under condemnation, but under the righteousness of the Messiah, by whose blood we are made his own. Under his righteousness, not achieved by our effort or piety, but freely given as a gift through faith, we live in innocence, for God does not hold our sin against us. Covered with his blood-bought forgiveness, our consciences are cleansed from guilt, and our shame is covered. We have peace with God through faith in Christ. This innocence does not mean that we never sin, but that our sin is not held against us. Confessed and absolved, it will not have lordship over us. God in the flesh is your Lord. Under the lordship of the crucified and risen Emmanuel, our existence is one of blessedness. Blessedness means that we are not under the condemnation of the law, but the benediction of God's favor here in time and forever in eternity. Jesus' first advent was greeted with the cries of Jerusalem citizens, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Who is this King? It is Jesus Christ, my Lord, begotten of the Father from eternity and true man, born of the Virgin Mary. He has come that we might be his own and have life in his kingdom, even as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns as our brother and our Savior for all eternity. That is the glad news of this Advent season, and it is our joyful confession that makes us bold to pray, "Amen, come Lord Jesus, come." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you,
my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son,
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.